You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This morning we're going to come around the Word. I'm so glad that you've come to church this morning so that we can worship our God, because He is so good and He is so great. This morning we're going to talk about being empowered to experience. Empowered to experience. Last week we talked about, in our mission series, empowered to stand, because we can stand firm on the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. But this week, this morning, we're going to talk about being empowered to experience. Relationship with God is to be experienced. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. And we've been doing our mission series because God is getting us ready, because God is calling us to take the territory of Geelong. And He's orchestrated us to do pop-up services in Drysdale, in Ocean Grove, in Armstrong Creek, and in Lara. Four pop-up services over the next months or so that we're going to be bringing God to a new suburb that doesn't even have an ACC church in there currently, doesn't have a Pentecostal church in that area currently. And so God spoke to us as a church that He wants us to take the territory of Geelong for Jesus, to see people saved, delivered, set free and restored and transformed by the renewing of their mind. And so as a church, we are on mission and we are bringing a service to those suburbs, and you are a part of it. You are the body of Christ this morning, and we're going to stand and take what we know about God, take what we have in God, the experience that we have in relationship with God, and we're going to take them to these pop-up services to see Drysdale set free and saved, to see Ocean Grove standing up, experiencing God like they never have before, that in Armstrong Creek, that in Lara, that deliverance is going to occur and people are going to know how to be saved and be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you with me today, church? Amen. So we're going to come around the Word this morning. Romans 1 verse 4, it says it like this: but as the mighty Son of God, He was raised from the dead and miraculously set apart with a display of triumphant power supplied by the Spirit of holiness. And now Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Messiah. This morning we have been set apart because of Jesus Christ, who lives and dwells and resides within us. And we are not just set apart to stand there. We are set apart with triumphant power. And it is the Holy Spirit that is your supply this morning. We are no longer separated because what of Jesus accomplished upon that cross. He died, and 3 days later He was resurrected by the Spirit of God. Today you are no longer separated from a God. You are in relationship with Jesus Christ. You are experiencing hearing His voice. You are experiencing feeling His touch upon your life, because this is the power to experience the gospel this morning. And we have that same triumphant power in us. It is continually supplied by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the Spirit of holiness. We have been empowered to experience resurrection power. God's power that brings dead back to life. For those around us to experience this mighty power. It's not just enough for us to experience, it's for us to understand that triumphant power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And because of the Holy Spirit's supply of power, it's not just for us, but it's for those around us, that it would spill and it would overflow in the goodness of God and demonstrate a holy God that doesn't have to be separated from people, but they can know the same goodness that we know. If they just knew the goodness that we know, nothing would keep them out of church. Nothing would keep them separated, because they would understand that He's such a good God. Ephesians 3:20 says this: never doubt Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. We've already heard this in communion this morning and in the prayer time. Do you think God is speaking to his church this morning? Then your greatest request, more than your dream, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. Do you see the breadth, the width, the depth, the strength of our mighty God this morning, that he's going to do more than your wildest imagination and abundantly more? He will outdo them all. He will outdo how many souls you want to see saved. He will outdo how many deliverance you want to see. He will outdo it this morning. Because his miraculous power constantly energizes you. You walk in his power. You walk in his goodness. You walk in his favor this morning. You walk in his deliverance this morning. You walk in his healing power. And if they just knew outside what you have in here, nothing would stop them from coming into the house of God and worshiping. And that's what is going to happen. Because this is my greatest desire, that God's church, God's bride, would be full and on fire with the power of God. Because he is coming back for a glorious bride, and you are that bride this morning. You are glorious and you are beautiful this morning. He wants to outdo everything you think, dream, and imagine. His miraculous power wants to change you and those around you, and he wants to use you this morning. He's got his eye on you this morning. He wants to empower you to experience resurrection power, that it will outflow and change people's minds of how they perceive God to be. If they just knew how good our God really was, nothing would stop the church being filled. And that's where you are on mission, to experience the goodness and to give freely the goodness that you have from God. So as my sister was getting married, we were getting our makeup done, and I was just noticing as the girl was doing my makeup, and I just noticed her arms, and I could see that there was just such pain upon her arms. There was such trauma upon her arms. And instantly when I saw this girl and I saw that trauma on her arm, my heart was pulled in just a groaning towards the pain that she was feeling. Because that's what happens. There are people in your world that are experiencing trauma and pain, but you have the answer of healing and deliverance. It's not enough for the church to know what they have. It's for the world to experience the goodness and the deliverance and the hope of Jesus Christ. And that hope is in you. And as I saw that pain, as I saw that trauma in her arms, I waited till she had finished working that morning, and I was just looking for my moment, because I knew what I had experienced in God, she too could have that same experience. But it takes for us, the body of Christ, to stand in our God-given rights, calling, and authority, and to be Jesus to this world. And so in that moment, even though I might have felt a little bit scared and a little bit of trepidation, I wanted to take the risk, because the risk is worth it when you know a God who saves and delivers. And so I made my way out to the front, and I ran her down and flagged her down before she got into the car. And she's probably thinking, did you not pay me? Did something happen? And I thought, I've got something more than that for you. And I just started to minister and just talk with her, just like I'm talking to you, in just a conversation. Nothing out there, nothing. We're just a normal face-to-face talking in a conversation. And I said, you know, your God loves you this morning. You might not know who Jesus is, but Jesus knows who you are. And Jesus spoke into my heart about things that are going in your life. And I shared what the Spirit of God was saying to me. Was it a risk? Yes. Did I have to step out? Yes. But was it worth it? Yes. And as the tears came rolling down her face, I heard from God. She heard from God. And it was no longer just my experience, but she was experiencing experiencing the power of a resurrected God who is no longer in a tomb but has risen. Your God is alive this morning, and it's time to take God who is alive to the streets of Geelong, because he's given us the territory. But he's calling you to rise. He's calling you to stand. It's not enough for you just to experience the goodness of God. They need to know what you have. They need to know what you know. They need to know what you've experienced. And it's the goodness and the deliverance of God. Do you remember that time where you were delivered? Do you remember that time where you were healed? Do you remember that time where you were set free? Let others experience and know the goodness of God that you have experienced for yourself. And as the tears rolled down her eyes, she realized that there was a God in heaven who knew her name, who knew her story, who knew her identity. This pain and trauma was not to be identified upon her body, because God has identified her with heaven etched all over her life, that she has good works to accomplish that have been ordered long ago. And God wants to see every one of his sons and his daughters walking in the freedom and hope of Jesus Christ. She was changed. She was changed that day. Did I see salvation? Not yet, but some water, some plant. But it is God who brings the increase this morning. 1 Corinthians says that I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God caused the seed sown to take root and spring up, and God causes them to grow. You sow, you plant. It is God who brings the increase. You don't have to get to the end and somebody gets saved and think, yes, I've done it. Some water, some plant. It's God who brings the increase. He wants to use all of us to see this generation saved and delivered. Philippians 3:10 says this, and I continually long to know. Oh, this verse. I was talking with my sister the other day, and I said to her, all I want to do is just get into the presence of God. I long to know Jesus. I long to know God face to face. You remember, I just can't get that picture out of my mind of Joshua. Moses was in talking face to face with God, and there was Joshua just on the corners thinking, can I just get in where Moses is? Can I just see him face to face like Moses is experiencing? And I feel like Joshua, God, I just want to get in. I just want to see you face to face. And I continually long to know the wonders, the glorious wonders of Jesus more fully, and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. Know means to come and experience it. It's not to talk about it. It's not just to read about it. Did you know that the Holy Spirit wants you to experiencing what it actually means to fully understand the wonders of Jesus Christ? You have access this morning. You see what? I know. The other day I was just doing some jobs and everything, and there was this pulling and there was this longing in my heart. God, I know that I have to do these things during my day, but I just want to drop everything because I just want to come into your presence. There is a desire, there is longing that is stirring in the hearts of every person in this church, where he is pulling you towards himself because you have access to a holy God, where you will understand, know and experience the wonders of our God. And this is my experience of what I know Jesus to be. He is safe. How God is safe. I feel protected when I'm in his presence, when I'm communing with him and I'm experiencing his love. I feel safe and protected. And you too this morning can experience the protection of a God who fiercely loves you and wants to protect you. He has an incredible way of sifting conformities of this world to decrease what will not profit in my life. And he transforms me and wants to transform you this morning. Guess what else I experience? He renews my mind. I feel no anxiety when I'm with him, in presence with him. And if people knew this love, If people knew this freedom, if people experienced the peace of what you know, the peace doesn't just stay on you. It emanates and flows out of you. When people come into contact with you, guess what? Anxiety has to bow. Guess what? A mind that is disturbed has to bow to the peace of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. When people come in to relationship with you, they experience Jesus. Anxiety has to go and protection has to come. God's transformation is what people need to see from you, and God is transforming you every single time you hear the word of your Father. And those are the seeds that need to be deposited in the city of Geelong, in the hearts and the minds of the people. God's goodness, people are longing for what you have. People are longing for peace when they are riddled with anxiety. People are looking for the mind of Christ that will steady them even though storms are all around them. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Matthew 10:8. And this is why we're here. This is our commission this morning. You must continually bring healing to the lepers and those who are sick, and make it your habit. Make it your habit to break off demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others. Philippians 3:10 says, "I will be one with him in his sufferings." People will reject you. You will take a risk towards them, full of the power of the Holy Ghost, and they will say, "No, thank you. I don't believe in your God." People will reject you. You will be with him in Christ's sufferings, where he was rejected, where he was scoffed and mocked at, where he was despised. People will despise you, but let me tell you, where there is darkness, the light shines brighter this morning, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. "I will be one with him in his sufferings. And I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. I'm not there yet, but I am resolute. My heart and my eyes is fixed towards my Savior. And I may be like Joshua, just on that little outer bit at the moment, but Moses, I'm coming for you. Get out the way. I'm going to be face to face with God. I run with passion into his abundance." When I come into a crowd of people, I run with God's passion of resurrection power and said that somebody is here who needs what I have, and I'm scanning the room. I'm looking for the opportunities. I'm looking for the connections to see the opening, and I'll keep talking and talk. You know that I can talk. And I keep talking and talking until I feel the Holy Spirit turn up in that moment, and I know there's an opening, and that's where I just start to move in the Holy Ghost. That's what we've been created to do: heal the sick, see the demon possessed go free, bring deliverance, bring sight to the blind. Freely you have received, freely give. Are you looking? Are you looking? Are you looking to see who needs to be delivered? "Into his abundance, so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover." I think I've discovered so much. What else is there to discover? And that's what pulls me back to the secret place day in and day out, because there's more to discover of his goodness. And the more we experience, the more that we can overflow and give and see Geelong changed and transformed for Jesus. I don't depend on my own strength. It is impossible with man, but with God, all things have been made possible. I don't depend on my own strength. I don't have the right words. Sometimes I don't even have the right headspace. But in Christ, I have the mind of Christ. I have the words that will bring deliverance. And it is not by my own strength. It is not by power. It is not by might, it is by the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in you that can accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. What has God said? You can have the territory of Geelong Gateway Church. And I'm going to create pop-up services that we have heard from God, even to down to the areas to start in Drysdale first, then to Ocean Grove, then to Armstrong Creek, then to Lara. We've heard so specifically God is moving ahead of us and he's asking us to come. But we're not coming alone. We're coming with people because freely we have been given and freely they shall receive. I fasten my heart to the future instead because the future is full of hope and it's exciting. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to you. God will reveal it to them. There was this moment a couple of weeks ago where I was out to dinner. And in the afternoon, I had been spending time with God that day. And in the afternoon, I just sort of grown a little bit tired, as you do. And I sort of got home and thought, oh, I just need a cup of tea and a sit down and maybe I'll be fine. But I could feel that it was actually something more than tiredness. I felt that there was a heaviness, an oppressiveness trying to attack me because God knows what's on you. The devil knows what's on your life. And he doesn't want you to connect with people because he knows that you carry the hope of glory within you and that everywhere you go will bring deliverance and restoration and salvation. You are powerful to God, but you are scary to the enemy. And I was feeling this oppression come on me and he was trying to rob me and trying to take and stir my authority and who I am in God. But it was at that moment when you start to feel heavy and when you start to feel like the enemy is attacking you that you must get the mind of Christ and come out of your thinking and your soul realm and say, Spirit of God, what are you saying to me? What's happening here? Because your God wants to speak to you. Your God has created your ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I felt this oppressiveness, so I went straight back into prayer and I knew straight away someone is looking for what I've got tonight. When I walk into this dinner, somebody is needing the answers. Somebody is needing the goodness that I know of. Somebody is raising from the dead needs to be raised to life. And that's the power that you hold. And as I came, I was having conversation after conversation and nothing was opening up. And then it all changed. I just felt the presence of God walk into the conversation and rest upon the conversation, rest upon us as people. And I knew the Spirit of God was there and there was an opening in her heart to receive what God wanted to do. She started to share with me how God had just moved in her life with this encounter of God with signs and wonders and she's never forgotten about it. And I said to her, when you talk about it with me now, can you feel that same feeling of his presence? She said, I can feel it. And then she said to me, but I'm lazy. Who says that? But you see, where there's light, things of the darkness that hold you down want to be raised to the surface so God can get rid of what is restraining you. And I said, you know what? It doesn't matter what's happening today. It matters what you do right now. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me that you're going to pray for her. And I'm like, we're in a restaurant. Okay, I'm going to go with it. I'm obviously going to be one of these people. And my children weren't with me and they're like, praise God, Mum. And so then she actually said to me, and this was somebody who I'd never been able to connect with before. This is somebody whose heart had always been so close to me that I could never even share that relationship. But when the Spirit of God is mightily upon you, you will take down giants. And so as we entered into that conversation, she then actually said to me, before I even had to say, can you pray for me? And I said, yeah, let's pray right now. Oh, no, we're in a restaurant. Let's not pray now. And I said, you know what? I can do it so stealth that nobody will even see that I'm what I'm doing. And she said, okay, I've watched Jason Bourne. Don't you worry. I know what I'm doing. And so I sat down and I prayed for her. And she didn't even care who was there. She was sobbing, tears were rolling down her face, and she encountered God who was waiting right there for her because she opened up her heart, but because I took a risk. Church, it's time to take risks. You have resurrection power. You have the backing of the kingdom of God. You have got nothing to lose and everything to gain. You are on the victory winning side this morning. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Galatians says, Ephesians says, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude. This is what she was experiencing, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ and all its dimensions, how deeply intimate. She was so far away, but she was coming into intimacy, experiencing God's goodness and his far-reaching in his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Is that what you want to experience this morning? Because it's yours by right of inheritance for you to experience. Ephesians 2 said, God's power raised us from the dead. Nothing can hold his church down, and his fullness fills you. Even though you were once like corpses, once like, not still like, once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses, you are now free because of resurrection power. Galatians 2:20 says, my old identity has been co-crucified. It is no longer I who live anymore. It is Christ who lives and dwells and resides and walks in me. And this life I now live, I live it by faith, believing in him wholeheartedly, who he's created me to be. He's created you to be more than victorious. He has created you to be full of the presence and authority of God, that you can say to this mountain, be moved. And if you believe it in your heart and you do not doubt, the mountain shall be moved. That's what you hold. It's no longer you who lives. You have been crucified with Christ, and now you are living in resurrection power. You live this life in the faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for you. It's no longer us who live anymore. I love what Psalm 42 says by David. I love how he longed for the presence of God. And I've been saying, God, I want your heart. Give me a heart that longs for your presence to be with you as the deer longs for the streams of water. It's tired. It's thirsty. It's longing for the streams of water to replenish and quench its thirst. So I long for you, God. I want to run and dwell in your presence because when I do, there is fullness of joy. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I only have tears for food. While my enemies, oh, that spirit of sickness and affliction taunts me in my home. I've been going into Jackson's room most nights now. And when he's been asleep, and I've been saying, spirit of affliction, get off my child. Get off my child. I do not accept what you are trying to attack and create my child to be. My child has been created in the identity of Jesus Christ. He is set free and delivered, and I will not accept anything else until what I have already known in the supernatural is here in the natural. You will be healed, Jackson, because I won't take no for an answer. I am the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I need to smile now. We are the church. We're about to take the ground of Geelong. That's why I got my sneakers on. I needed to move this morning. We are the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Do you hear me? Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying? He gave you ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. You've got the city of Geelong. It's not an if, it's not a but, it's not a maybe. You're possessing. We're walking in it. He's causing His church to rise, to stand, to be empowered, to experience. While my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" I'll tell you, Satan, where my God is. He lives and dwells in me. My heart is His home. Resurrection breathes and dwells and resides within me. I'm going to see mountains moved. I'm going to see people won to Jesus, family saved, affliction coming off of people, salvation, healing, deliverance, because that's my God. Oh, you're with me today. I feel it. I love you. I love my church. You're beautiful. Where is this God? That's what your enemies would say when your child's having fits. Where's your God? I'll tell you where my God is, Satan. He's living in me with resurrection power, and I'm coming for you. You are already a defeated foe. You will not stand against the armies of the Lord, and the army of the Lord is in me. It's back in this church. There's angels that move all around in our services and you don't even see it. They're there. I saw them last night. They move and they're not weak. They're fierce. They're warriors standing with us, ready to take the city of Geelong. I love what it says. Where is this God? He's living in you. His presence is upon you. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus had just died, and they're saying, "Where is our God? We thought Jesus, we thought it would happen so differently." And then Jesus, without them knowing, comes near them and starts walking on the road to them. And He starts opening up the scriptures to them, and they didn't even know it was Jesus. And when they were breaking bread that night and their eyes were opened that it was Jesus walking with them in their sorrow, it was Jesus walking with them in their despair, it was Jesus walking when all hope was lost. Jesus, you don't need your hope to be lost. Jesus is always walking with you. And what did they say? Oh, didn't His words burn within our heart? God's word is going to burn in your heart, where you have to let it out, because if it stays in, it'll be like fire. That's what's coming to your hearts. Ange, that's what's coming to you. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn? Didn't our hearts burn with it?" I said, "He talked with us on the road and He explained all things to us." He's going to give you such revelation, such knowledge, empowered to experience resurrection power. And I finish with this exceptional story. I heard this from Reinhard Bonnke and I want to share it with you. He said, "I was preaching in Nairobi in Kenya. I was in the middle of a park and 2,000 people were listening. In that big crowd sat a little woman with a broken heart. She had just gone through a terrible divorce and her family had completely left her and dropped her. And she was in a terrible state and condition. And there she sat listening to my preaching. She told me later that she prayed to the Lord and said to Him, 'You have given to Reinhard hundreds and thousands of souls. Thousands of people that accepted Jesus into their hearts, where they made their hearts open for Jesus to make their heart His home. I'm now asking You, God,' this little lady said, 'just give me 100 souls. You've given Him thousands. I'm just asking for 100. The crusade passed, years passed, and that little woman said, "Where has Reinhard got his next fire conference? As I want to attend this fire conference. I want to hear about the power of God. I want to hear about Jesus and how you can experience resurrection power. His glory that intervenes with the supernatural of what the natural cannot produce. I want to know where He is. I want the fire of God." Somebody came into her with a magazine telling her that he was going to be preaching in Oslo, Norway. And she went and booked her ticket and arrived in Oslo, and indeed Ryan Hart was there. It wasn't a fire conference, but a crusade meeting for many that did not know Jesus. And when he made his altar call for salvation, that lady from Kenya was the first one that jumped up, ran forward, and she was the first one at that altar, shaking like a leaf under the presence of an almighty holy God. Ryan Hart said, "I remember her so clearly because if you're in Norway, seeing an African woman stands out." And there she stood. "I walked down the steps," he said, "and I tapped that little lady on the shoulder and said to her, 'What do you want? What do you want? Why have you ran down here? What is it that you want in your heart today?' And she said, 'I want the fire. I've come for the fire and the glory of God.' What is the fire of God? It's when God intervenes into the natural, what can humanly never be done by a human being and can only be done from God. I want the fire of God. I want the glory of God." Thank God, he thought, this was a quick job. "I laid my hands on her," he said, and he said, "in the name of Jesus, receive this fire." He said, "I know so many people receive such a touch and they want to fall backwards if somebody's ready to catch them." But she said, all of a sudden, powerful hands lifted from behind her and she was carried through the air and dropped 30 meters off the ground. He watched and took another look and thought, "I've seen her for the last time." "What a mistake," he was saying. He's like, "What a mistake. What am I going to do now? She's been thrown 30 meters. The lady went home to Nairobi, obviously okay, and said, "Next Friday, I start my ministry." So she invited women in the neighborhood, and the next Friday, 17 women came. Ryan Hart said he started even smaller than that. So the next Friday, she asked the women again, and 55 came. And the next week, 125 came. And the next week, 400. And the next week, 600. To the point that she was looking for halls and bigger stadiums in Nairobi City, that halls that seat 2,000 people. But when she booked that, 4,000 people came. She rented a convention center that holds 5,000 people. And 12,000 people came. She went to the city council and asked them to give her the same park where she first heard Reinhard Bonnke preach about Jesus. They came back to her and said, "Once a month, the first Sunday of the month, you can have it every single time and hold a service there for people to hear about Jesus." Reinhard made the decision to go to the meeting when she didn't know he was there. He looked across the stadium and saw more than 200,000 people there listening to a lady who was once broken. But she saw Jesus and said, "That's my answer. That's my deliverance." That's what fire can do. That's what the impossible to God, the impossible to us. That's what our God can do. That's what resurrection power looks like in one person who have been empowered to experience. This is nothing. Every week you're going to feel it more and see it more because we've been empowered to experience. Reinhard asked God, "Why did you pick her?" And God said to him, "I did it to prove that I can turn a broken vessel into a vessel of honor." If you've been crushed by the devil, he isn't finished with you yet. That flame of fire will enable you to go and go and go because we're taking the city of Geelong back for Jesus. Where is your God? Living in you. Living in you. Father, we just pray. Jesus' name, you are so good. You are so great. You are so wonderful. You are so kind. You are so stable. You are protection. You are love. And this is all for us to experience the wonderful height dimension of your love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not peril, not affliction, not sickness, not anything can separate us from your love. You died for us to make a way that we would never be without you. You are the resurrection and the life. You are all powerful this morning. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our Restorer. You are our Healer. And we love you. We love you. Our lives have been laid down for the cross. You are the good news. You are the Deliverer. And we are your people. We are your people. We are your people, and you are our God. We will follow you where you lead us. We will follow you where you lead us. We will obey you because you are a holy God. We have been empowered to experience your goodness and your love. In Jesus' name, this morning, he wants to touch your mouth with fire. He wants to touch your mouth with fire. What does that mean? It's the good news of the gospel. Jeremiah experienced God touching his lips with fire. Isaiah experienced the coal of fire from the presence of God touching his lips. And it gave them the words to say. It gave them the boldness to say the words that God was giving them. He wants to touch your mouth with fire, that you can speak the power of God. Not be intimidated. Be full of faith with resurrection power. The fire is to speak the word of God. This is not where preaching starts and finishes. My preaching's out there. That's where I got to take the risks. And I need the fire of God to touch my lips, to give me the words to say. Jeremiah said, I don't know what to say. I'm only a youth. I'm only young. You know, I don't know what to say. God said, stop, and touched his lips. Now I've put my words in your mouth. Go and preach to all that I send you to. Don't be scared. Don't fear. Don't be intimidated. It's my words that are now in you. God wants to touch your lips. Jeremiah 1:9 says, and the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words, Jeremiah, into your mouth. Jeremiah 29, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his names, his words will burn in my heart. Jeremiah was scared. Jeremiah was scared. But it was like fire, the word of the Lord, the goodness of God, the hope of Jesus was so full in his heart. It was like fire burning and he had to get it out. God, I'm looking for you to touch my mouth with the fire of God so I don't keep the goodness of God inside of me, but it goes and preaches to all that want to hear the good news of the gospel. Why? Because freely we have been given, freely we have received, so freely give. Isaiah said it like this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? God touched his mouth with his presence. God touched his mouth with his deliverance. God touched his mouth with hope and restoration. And what was Isaiah's response? God, I will go. The goodness of God is in me. I will go to all that you send me. I will be your man. I will be your woman. I will preach to Geelong. I will take the risk. I have been empowered to experience, and I want everybody to experience the goodness of God. If you're in this place right now and you say, Holy Spirit, I want the fire of God to touch my lips. I want the fire of God to change me. I want his presence in my mouth that I have the words to say. And as they say them, they're full of the goodness of God. If you want the angel of the Lord, if you want the Holy Spirit and his fire to touch your lips this morning, I want you to stand in this place and raise your hands to the King of Heaven, because God is calling his church to experience the hand and the glory of God.
Still, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, first and foremost, the thing that you need to do is come to Jesus. You need to have your come to Jesus moment. He died on the cross, was buried, he rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins, for all humanity. Maybe you've prayed the prayer before, you've never prayed it. Accepting Jesus into your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing him with your mouth, believing in your heart that he's Lord. Maybe you've never done it. Maybe you've done it before. I need to get my heart right. This is your moment this morning. This is what we're going to do this morning. If you need to pray that prayer, the whole church is going to join me in praying this prayer. I'm going to speak it out, repeat the prayer after me. This is you. It's not about hands. It's about hearts this morning. Hearts this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. I thank you, that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again as forgiveness for my sins. You were my sacrifice. And I confess with my mouth, and I believe with my heart, that you are Lord and God raised you. I confess my sin. I repent. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. And from this day on, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, if you prayed it again, I want to encourage you on the way out, please. There's a First Steps book at the back there for you to take with you. We'd love to connect with you. If you don't have a Bible, please, please take a Bible on the way out. Whether you pray the prayer or not, if you do not own a Bible right now in your home, please grab one on the way out. We want you to take one home with you. If you're watching online this morning and you prayed that prayer, you can go to gc.org.au/first-steps. All the information's there so you can get into contact with us and start your journey of following Jesus. How good is God?